Dear friends, we gather this day on the traditional and unceded territory of the Algonquin Nation. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
May his grace and peace be with you.
May he fill our hearts with joy.
Let us pray. O God, you give us the Son as the vine, apart from whom we cannot live. Nourish our life in his resurrection, so that we bear the fruit of love and know the fullness of your joy. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
La première lecture, Acte 8, versets 26 jusqu'à 40. L'ange du Seigneur s'adressa à Philippe. Tu vas aller vers le midi, lui dit-il, sur la route qui descend de Jérusalem à Gaza. Elle est déserte. Et Philippe partit sans tarder. Or, un eunuque éthiopien, haut fonctionnaire de Candace, la reine d'Éthiopie, et l'administrateur général de son trésor, qui était allé à Jérusalem en pèlerinage, retournait chez lui. Assis dans son char, il lisait le prophète Esaïe. L'Esprit dit à Philippe, « Avance et rejoins ce char. » Philippe, y courut, entendit l'eunuque qui lisait le prophète Esaïe et lui dit, « Comprends-tu vraiment ce que tu lis ? Et comment le pourrais-je » répondit-il. « Si je n'ai pas de guide. » Et il invita Philippe à monter s'asseoir près de lui. Et voici le passage de l'Écriture qu'il lisait. Comme une brebis que l'on conduit pour l'égorger, comme un agneau muet devant celui qui le tend. C'est ainsi qu'il n'ouvre pas la bouche. Dans son abaissement, il a été privé de son droit. Sa génération qui la raconta, terra. Quand elle est enlevée de la terre, sa vie s'adressa à Philippe. L'eunuque lui dit, « Je t'en prie, de qui le prophète parle-t-il ainsi ? De lui-même ou de quelqu'un d'autre ?» Philippe ouvrit alors la bouche et, partant de son texte, il lui annonça la bonne nouvelle de Jésus. Poursuivant leur chemin, ils tombèrent sur un point d'eau et l'eunuque dit, « Voici l'eau. Qu'est-ce qui empêche que je reçoive le baptême ?» Il donna l'ordre d'arrêter son char. Tous les deux descendirent dans l'eau, Philippe et l'eunuque, et Philippe le baptisant. Quand ils furent sortis de l'eau, l'Esprit du Seigneur emporta Philippe, et l'eunuque ne le vit plus. Mais il poursuivit de son chemin dans la joie. Quant à Philippe, il se retrouva à Azotos et il annonçait la bonne nouvelle dans toutes les villes où il passait jusqu'à son arrivée à César. And what the Spirit is saying to church.
Thank you.
first letter of John. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. To those who say, "I love God," and hate their brothers and sisters are liars. For those who do not have love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thank you.
God be with you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The Gospel of Christ.
True vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. Please be seated. Are you familiar with the Japanese art form called bonsai? So I'm seeing some nods there. Trees are miniaturized by careful pruning of branches and roots and put into tiny, beautiful pots. And some branches are removed and others forced with careful use of wires, metal wires, to twist the tiny trees to appear like ancient windswept specimens, something that you'd see on a cliffside. There is great beauty in this art, but there is a tremendous amount of work involved in keeping them miniature and yet thriving. Some of these miniature trees have been handed down through generations of families, and sometimes spanning hundreds of years. I went online and looked up, and there's some bonsai trees that are over 1,000 years old that have been handed down, and they're just amazing. Look them up. Bonsai masters' careful attention to details about the health of the whole tree is how sort of I imagine God's careful attention to our lives to be in the removal of dead, dying, and diseased branches, and in pruning others so that our lives bear much fruit. I worked in forestry before I entered the sisterhood. Our task when we pruned trees was not only to beautify nor miniaturize the trees, but to help encourage them instead to grow taller, faster, stronger, faster, straighter for lumber so that they could be useful. Trees grow upwards towards the light and compete with one another to get the most light available. Branches in the shade beneath eventually start withering and dying off as the tree grows upwards. And pruning the lower branches, the branches lower down, meant that the trees weren't expending energy on these limbs that would eventually die anyways and fall off. So we were just aiding by doing this pruning to nature's way. Now, I imagine if you've done any gardening in your lives, you would have had the opportunity to do some pruning and removal of branches from time to time. Tomato plants are good examples. It's helpful to maximize the production of the fruit to remove the sucker branches that grow out at about a 45 degree angle from the stem. So you'll see the vine growing up and there's a little branch going 45 degree angle. You take those ones out because those ones only grow leaves. It's the ones that stick straight out that grow all the fruit on them. Or how about basil plants? If you've got, like, maybe just even on your apartment window ledge, you might have a basil plant growing, and to maximize growth, you keep pruning it back, pinching the stems back to a node, and it bushes out more fully over time so that you've got an almost endless supply of basil for pesto or putting on pizzas. Now, there's some debate about whether or not plants feel pain when branches are removed, pruned, or damaged, or when plants are dug up or transplanted or harvested. And in 1973, a book came out called The Secret Life of Plants, and it was a bestseller that went, these days we'd say viral, which suggested that plants did feel pain and would even scream, some kind of oscillation that was shown on some meter. Well, more recently, Suzanne Simard, a professor in forestry at the University of British Columbia, wrote a book called Finding the Mother Tree. She suggests that trees communicate with one another through the underground system of mycorrhizae and fungi attached and intertwined with tree roots and living in a symbiotic relationship with the roots. And through this root and fungal network, some have dubbed the wood wide web, trees seem to communicate with one another. So when one tree is under attack by, say, insects or disease, they can chemically signal through their roots to the other trees around them to get ready, that there is something going on, and to ramp up their defenses. But I just read an article in The Guardian just this past week that suggests that there hasn't yet been enough research and conclusive evidence that trees actually can communicate. So it's still, time will tell. Now, I lean on the side that trees do communicate and even feel pain. After all, we hear in the Psalms, Psalm 96, 12, "Then shall all the trees of the wood shout for joy at the coming of the Lord." We should never anthropomorphize trees or animals or anything in creation, but what a wonderful image of trees shouting for joy. Now, I am a forester, and as I said, so all this stuff around trees and roots and mycorrhizae and all that stuff interests me. But what does it mean personally to be pruned? Does it hurt? You bet. I had just a few years ago started learning beekeeping. It's something that really interests me. And then I developed carpal tunnel syndrome. My hand was so numb that I couldn't hold anything. I was at supper one evening and we actually just were having baked beans on toast. And I picked up the ketchup bottle to squeeze over top of my beans, and the ketchup bottle just fell right out of my hand onto the plate of beans. What a mess. The nerves involved stretch from my wrist all the way up to my neck. So it's just right up there. So I cannot do any really heavy lifting anymore, and a lot of repetitive motions are out for me now. It took me some time, but I came to realize that I could no longer lift the frames full of honey, nor move the bee supers, nor do the work necessary for healthy and happy bees and a good production of honey. I had thought beekeeping could be very fruitful in my life and in the life of the Sisterhood of St. John the Divine, our community, as bees form an incredible community with the queen and then the workers, and it would have been wonderful for homilies, for talking about community and stuff. But my hopes, my dreams were cut off, and I have keenly felt the disappointment in not being able to pursue this. On the other hand, I've taken up bread baking more frequently, and I which is also fruitful for both me and for the community, as I bake about 8 or 9 loaves most weeks. My passion for bread baking has led me to become even more creative. I've shared 3 sessions on the spirituality of bread making over Zoom with a parish in Hong Kong. Now, the time difference was a real killer, but we made it work. And I've led various workshops at the convent for small groups baking bread together. And as soon as the guest house renovation is complete and we reopen our guest house again, I expect I'm going to be doing a weekend retreat with one of our oblates on bread making. Very fruitful indeed. And because I can use a stand mixer to knead the bread, and I don't think using a bread machine is cheating, making bread is something that I can keep on doing even as I age. Jesus tells us, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing." This is Jesus's most intimate of the I am statements in John's gospel. We are part of the life and growth of Christ in the world. You may recall the other I am statements throughout the gospel of John. The I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. We had that last Sunday, and that was the Good Shepherd Sunday. I am the resurrection and the life. But this one, the I am the vine, you are the branches, shows us how intimately we are connected with Christ and through Christ in God. All our good works, everything we do, must be connected with Christ. We must abide in Christ, else they will not bear fruit for the kingdom of God. The pruning and removal of branches is a way of discerning our way ahead. Pay attention to your joys and satisfactions, as well as your disappointments and failures, as one of our prayers of thanksgiving puts it. And this is from the BAS, from page 129, one of the Thanksgiving prayers. And it says, "We thank you for setting us tasks which demand our best efforts, and for leading us to accomplishments that satisfy and delight us. We thank you also for those disappointments and failures that lead us to acknowledge our dependence on you alone." Sifting through how things are going gives us information about how to proceed in whatever ventures we undertake. Now, Jesus was quite a provocative preacher and used many different examples to try and reach those listening. Indeed, in John 8:58, we would read, "Jesus said to them, 'Very truly, I tell you, before Abraham was, I am.' And they picked up stones to throw at him." What he had said was blasphemous and offensive to the Pharisees and the Jews he was speaking with. In Exodus 3, Moses said to God, "If I come to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." He said further, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'I am has sent me to you.'" So this I am name is very sacred to the Jews. So when Jesus uses the I am, he's deliberately provoking the people, declaring his divinity. And he is inviting us to abide in him as branches to his vine, so that we may be one with him as he and the Father are one. I believe that the I am statements of Jesus may help us with our discernment. I am the bread of life. That's from John 6. Speaks to me of finding the love of God in ordinary things and circumstances, and questioning whether what I'm doing is life-giving and life-affirming. So like the bread I bake and others enjoy, is that life-affirming? I am the light of the world, from John 8, asks me, am I bringing more light to the world? Or am I seeking the glory for myself? I am the gate for the sheep, from chapter 10. The gate will keep the falsehood and lies outside so I can be faithful to the word of God. And we were taught before we spoke to let our words pass through three gates. Is it true? Is it necessary? Is it kind? Those three gates. And if what we were to say would pass those three gates, only then were we to speak up. And then, I am the good shepherd, from chapter 10. This makes me ask if I am following the good shepherd or my own way. And then, I am the resurrection and the life, from chapter 11. This one teaches me not to worry when things go awry in my life, for Christ is resurrection and life, and can bring life where all we see is death. Knowing that we abide in Christ Jesus, the vine, means that we will have times in our lives when the branches will be removed as they are not bearing fruit for the kingdom. Other branches that are bearing fruit will be pruned. And even though painful and disappointing at times, continue abiding and growing in Christ, the true vine, and let your fruit bear fruit for the kingdom of God. Amen.
Thank you. In stillness and hope, let us pray to the Creator of the universe, saying, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, we pray for this church. We pray today for the many volunteers that give so generously of their time, talents, energy, and resources to support our worship and our ministries, helping all those who enter our doors to find belonging, encouragement, comfort, and inspiration. We give thanks especially today for the organizers and contributors to our credo and all those who have sustained it over the years. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Creator God, we pray for our community. We pray today for the artists in our community, the painters and sculptors, the musicians and composers, the dancers and singers, the writers and thinkers. We ask that you continue to bring them inspiration and satisfaction in their creative endeavors. May their work bring joy and comfort to those that need it most. May it also bring us new ideas, helping us to see things differently, unveiling our biases, assumptions, and rationalizations, challenging our complacency, and stimulating our learning and growth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of peace, we pray for our world, remembering today the students and protesters around the world who are crying out for justice, peace, and healing for our planet. Console their hearts that have been so brutally traumatized by the violence they have witnessed. Give them strength, hope, and determination as they strive for a more peaceful, just, and equitable world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of mercy, we pray for all those known to us who are sick or suffering, including Robin, Diana, and Sarah. We pray also for those who grieve lost loved ones or broken relationships. Let them not be alone. Let them not despair or be discouraged. And may the beauty of your world and the kindness of friends, family, and caregivers soothe their pain, sustain their dignity, and affirm their immeasurable value as your children. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of compassion, we pray for our country, Canada. Grant our leaders wisdom as they seek ways to support and heal those suffering from addiction, while also supporting their families and communities. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of wisdom, we ask your blessings today for Shane, our bishop, Anne, our metropolitan, and Linda, our primate. We ask also for your continued guidance for those in leadership positions here at St. John's, including Gary, Alan, Christina, Pat, Kimberly, Carrie, Jesse, Monica, Barb, Jeff, and Marianne. We pray also for the staff, volunteers, and participants in the programs of The Well and all the community ministries of this diocese. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of creation, your world is made new every morning with fresh beauty and possibility. May we accept this profound gift with gratitude, joy, and humility, and never take it for granted. Amen.
Thank you.
Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the Church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be upon you and keep you today and always. Amen.